back to our afternoon kol. What a zchus it is to be able to learn together. As always, I thank Rabbi Shabtai for arranging this wonderful learning opportunity and for the privilege of being able to learn together. So a tremendous yeshar koyach to all of you. Okay, what I want to do today is touch upon a sugya that those who learn Daf Yoimi will be very familiar with, and that is the sugya of zchus avos. Zchus avos, how does that work? What does it mean that I have a zchus avos? What does it mean that because Hashem liked Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so that means that it's a benefit from me? Is it a get-out-of-jail-free card? And if you assume that it's a get-out-of-jail-free card, then do we assume that Hashem, who we know is MS, that's his signature, that he could be bribed? That because Hashem likes my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, so somehow that works out beneficially for me. So what exactly is zchus avos? How exactly does zchus avos work? And most importantly, what is it, are its implications for us? Halach lemaisa. What does it mean that Hashem likes my great-grandfather? So if you see over here, oh, this is not going to work out very well. Hold on. If you see over here, which is apparently sideways, which means I'll have to flip it. But if you see over here, so we state very clearly in our kinos on Tisha B'Av, we have an entire kinos based on a medrash about a story of Yirmiyahu, that Yirmiyahu, as he is pleading with Hashem not to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, so we know the famous story. He goes to all of the Avos, he goes to Avram, he goes to Yitzchak, he goes to Moshe, he goes to Leah, and he says, can you each daven on behalf of the Jewish people? And each one basically says, I'm not your guy, or I'm not your gal, better luck next time. Finally, he ends up with Rachel. He turns to Rachel and he says, Rachel, can you daven for the Jewish people? And Hashem ultimately listens to that tefillah. What a strange thing to do, right? In other words, either the Jewish people are meritorious or they're not meritorious. Either they have zchuyos for themselves, they don't have zchuyos for themselves. How does it help for Hashem to have gone to the Avos, or for Yirmiyahu to have gone to the Avos, and to have asked them to intervene on Hashem's behalf? What would the intervention have looked like? Would it have been, hey, Hashem, remember I did something really nice a couple thousand years ago. Can you treat my descendants nicely? So isn't that called a form of bribery? Isn't that greasing someone, you know, slipping a $100 bill into Hashem's hands? What does it mean? What is chus avos and how does it work? We say elsewhere in Tisha B'Av, on the kinos, we say, Hashem, how could you destroy us? Hashem, did you not forget the covenant that you established with those who you tested? Right again, Hashem, what happened to the bris? What happened to the covenant? What happened to zchus avos? What happened to the notion that our forefathers were good people? Isn't that serve as my get out of jail free card? So what I want to talk about again is, how does zchus avos work? What is zchus avos? And most importantly, the theological underpinning of zchus avos. How do we understand the notion that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, bribed by the actions of our descendants? I'm going to skip that page for a second and come to page number 5, I believe it is. 3, source number 4. Here we have the Gemara in Shabbos. That's not working out. Here we have the Gemara in Shabbos, which those who did Daf Yomi recently came across, and it will be very familiar to you. Says the Gemara in Shabbos on Nun Hey Amar Aleph, which I realize now is a long time ago, because we're in the hundreds now, but again, it seemed only recently. Says the Gemara in Shabbos, D'amar of Acha Barabi Chanina, Me'olam lo yatzta mida tova mikipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chaza ba l'ra. Hashem never said anything good that he changed his mind about, chutz midavar zeh, with one exception. In other words, Hashem never retracted a positive thing that he was going to say. With one exception, as the pasuk says, Vayomer Adonai Elav Avor Besocha Yir Besocha Yerushalayim. Hashem is talking about to the angel of death, go throughout the city of Yerushalayim, Hane'anachim v'ne'anakim al kol ha'toivos ha'nasos b'sova, and I'm sorry, v'tiv tav al mitzchos ha'nashim. And I want you to place the letter tav, right? Think of the scarlet letter, so to speak. I want you to place the scarlet letter tav on the foreheads of those who did wrong, those who did abominations in the city of Yerushalayim. Okay? Says the Gemara, Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Gavriel. Now we give the back story to that story. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Gavriel, to the angel Gavriel, my namesake, Lech Urishom al Mitzchan Shal Tzadikim Tev Shal Dio. Go and put a letter Tav in ink on the foreheads of the righteous. Shelo Yishlatu Bahem Malachei Chabala. So that when the angel of death comes over Yushalayim, he'll know to skip over those individuals. Similar to the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, where we put blood on our doorposts, so that the Malach HaMalas would know to skip over the Jewish houses. Ve'al Mitzchan Shel Roshayim Tav Shel Dam. And you would put the letter Tav in blood on the foreheads of the wicked, so that as the angels would come through Yushalayim, they would know whether to skip over, that was if it would be with ink, or whether to kill that person if it would be a blood. The angel of, or the attribute of justice, comes before Hashem and he says, wait, how are you differentiating between the Rishayim and the Tzadikim? Ribona Shalola Manishtanu Elum Elu. What's the difference between the Tzadikim and the Rishayim? Amrallah, Hashem says back to them, Halalu Tzadikim Gemurim, Vahalalu Rishayim Gemurim. These are categorically wicked people, and these are categorically righteous people. Amr Lefanav says the angel, the attribute of justice, wait a second. How can these people be such a graisa tzadikim? Ribona shalolam, haya biyadom lemachos velo michu. How can you argue that these people are so righteous? They should have prevented those other people from sinning, and they didn't do it. In other words, how could you be so righteous if you're watching other people sinning? Now, parenthetically, if we stop there, that's an amazing Musar Haskil. It means that when the attribute of justice comes before Hashem, he says to Hashem, don't think that person's a tzaddik because he didn't prevent other people from sinning. It means if we should be speaking out about injustice and we don't, that robs us of our tzidkus, right? Silence is not an option here. So Amar La, Hashem says back to him, Galoi viadua lefanai shi michu behem lo yikablu behem. Right, I could go, let's pick a place, right? I could go to Times Square right now. I can go into the heart of Times Square right now and start screaming about sneis and screaming about images and people and about, affluence and how we spend our money and the dangers of capitalism. I could scream about all of them. You know how many people are going to listen to me? Zero. Not one. And in fact, I would do it with great harm. So Hashem says back to the attribute of justice, wait a second. Why do you expect them to have spoken out against all of these sins that are taking place? You and I both know no one was going to respond to it. No one was going to change their behavior as a result of these tzaddikim speaking up. Amrullah, the angel of justice, responds with checkmate on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Im lefanecha galoi, lahem mi galoi. You, Hashem, might know that these people aren't going to change. But do these tzaddikim know that the other people weren't going to change? In other words, even if you, Hashem, know they weren't going to change, these people did not know that, and therefore it was their responsibility to try to improve other people. So again, it's an amazing Musar Haskil. It means that when you see someone doing something wrong, don't just be silent because you say, I know they're not going to listen to me at all. The attribute of justice comes along and says, Hashem might know that with certainty. But do you know with certainty that someone's not going to change? That if we start teaching about Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras Mishpacha, and we start promoting the values of Torah and Hashem and monotheism and mitzvos, how do we know people aren't going to listen? And the greatest proof of that is the day and age that you and I are living in, where there's a mass tshuva movement, despite all of the reasons to argue why that shouldn't be the case. So Hashem changes his mind. And therefore, instead of only killing the Rishayim and saving the Tzadikim, he ends up killing everyone. Right, that's the one case, says the Gemara, where despite the fact that Hashem had something positive, he changed it to the negative. Says the Gemara, Umay Shna Tav. Right, what's with this letter Tav? Now, those who learned Afiyomi know that I skipped a little bit about the Gemara, but I did it on purpose. We don't need to learn through that entire Gemara. What's with the letter Tav? Right, we know the scarlet letter was an S. Why was this the letter Tav? So Amar Rav, Sarav says, Tav Tichya, Tav Tamus. That the letter Tav is very simple. It either stands for Tichya, that you're going to live, or it stands for Tamus, that you're going to die. Ushmuel Amar, Tama Zchos Avos. Now, Shmuel says that the letter Tav is there to tell us that the merit, the Zchos of our patriarchs, has expired. Tama Zchos Avos. Virav Yochanan Amar, Tachon Zchus Avos. No, not that it is expired like Shmuel argues, but that the merit of our patriarchs, the merit of our Avos and Imos, still stands. It still works. De'amar Rabbi Chanina Chos Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu MS, right, that the signature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truth. So you have four interpretations right there amongst many. There's a fifth one that I didn't quote for you there, of what the letter Tav stands for, either that you should live or you should die, or that the merit of the patriarchs expired, or that it's still there. No matter how you cut it, the opinion of Shmuel and Rav Yochanan contradict each other. Right? Shmuel says that the letter Tav stands for the fact, Tamaz Chosavos, that whatever Chosavos means, whatever it means to have the merits of our patriarchs, that's gone. At some point in history, that get-out-of-jail-free card no longer works. Comes along Rav Yochanan and says, no, what are you talking about? Zchus Avos never expires. Tachon Zchus Avos. That despite the fact that Hashem wanted to kill so many people and that the Jews were so morally depraved, should always know, says Rav Yochanan, that Zchus Avos is never going to extinguish. It's never going to depart completely. So no matter how you cut the Gemara, Shmuel and Rav Yochanan have an argument about whether Zchus Avos wears off, disappears, or whether it's always there, and it always will be there. Now, before we get to this machlokes, let's learn a Tosfos. So first of all, Tosfos wonders about this machlokes. What does it mean, Tamaz Zchus Avos, Tachon Zchus Avos? It's a machlokes between Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. So Tosfos over here on the Gemara has a machlokes between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. First he says, Amar Rabbeinu Tam, Dizchus Avos Tama, Aval Bris Avos Lo Tama. Says Rabbeinu Tam that there's a difference between Zchus Avos and Bris Avos. Now, what's the difference? I don't know yet what the difference is. We're going to have to see in a little bit. But somehow, there is a difference between the merit of our forefathers and the covenant with our forefathers. Now, you can explain that rationally, right? Again, even without fancy calculations, Bris Avos means that you and I make a contract with each other, right? Who should I pick on now? I'll pick on Rabbi Brand. Rabbi Brand and I have a contract. We have an 100-year contract that Rabbi Brand is going to treat my children nicely. Okay, that's the 100-year contract that every month for the next 100 years, Rabbi Brand is going to give my children $1,000 a month. I don't know how much does that come up to with compound interest over 100 years. I'll take it. Anyone wants to give it to me, right? So that's the deal that I make with Rabbi Brand. $1,000 a month, 100 years, he and I sign it as a deal. 50 years down the line, one of my children, we find out is wasting money, right? Instead of using it to learn in Kollel, he's using it to go into real estate, whatever the case might be. So Moshe Brand comes to Moshe and he says, Moshe Moskowitz, I'm not giving you the $1,000 anymore. Moshe Moskowitz says, what are you talking about? So Rabbi Brand says, yeah, when I had the deal with your father, it was so that you'd go learn in Kollel. I never had the deal that you'd start buying up buildings in Midtown Manhattan. So Moshe Moskowitz comes out and he says, you and I have a deal. We have a contract. We have a covenant. You can't go back on the covenant. Says Rabbeinu Tam, that's Bris Avos. Bris Avos means that in Parshas Vayelech, I believe, Hashem and Avram made a bris. They made a covenant, Bris Bein Abisarim, where Hashem says, you're my guy, Avram. No matter what happens throughout history, you're my guy. Here's the contract. You're going to be my chosen people. You can't undo that contract. Zchus Avos, and again, we don't know what Zchus Avos means yet, but Zchus Avos, says Rabbeinu Tam, is different. Zchus, whereas Bris Avos is eternal, everlasting, and can never be negated, somehow Zchus Avos, the merits of our forefathers, that can disappear. And again, we have to see what those terms mean. Ulari Nira, then Rabbeinu Tam quotes the Ri. He says, Delo pligi Shmuel v'Rav Yochanan. Really, Shmuel and Rav Yochanan are not arguing at all. Even though one says Zchus Avos stopped, and the other says Zchus Avos is raging strong, they're not disagreeing at all. Ela Shmuel ka'amar de l'rishahim. Avala tzadikim lo tama. Uvitzadikim airi Rav Yochanan. In other words, when Shmuel says Tama Zchus Avos, that the merit of our forefathers has stopped, that's only with regard to Rishayim, that's with wicked people. But for tzadikim, he would agree with Rav Yochanan that Zchus Avos is still going strong. When Rav Yochanan comes along and says that Schus Avos is going strong, he was only talking about the Tzadikim. So Shmuel was only talking about the Rishayim, Rav Yochanan was only talking about the Tzadikim, and they're not disagreeing at all. Now, parenthetically, that's a hard pshat to understand if you're reading into the Gemara. Right? That's definitely not pshat in the Gemara, but you understand why the Ri was led to that conclusion, because it's an open stira between Rav Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. So he just simply says they're not arguing at all. Now, what is Schus Avos? Right? Come back to Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, Bris Avos is everlasting. Schus Avos can disappear. What is Schus Avos? And how exactly does it apply itself? So, Michta Meliyahu Rav Eliyahu Dessler, he has an essay on this notion of Schus Avos. And he starts off by saying the following. Hinenu Regilin Lachshov, we sometimes think, Ki biyosenu banu b'nei avosenu akdoshim, that the fact that you and I have very, very holy great-grandparents, b'nei Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, hinenu miyuchasim b'inei Hashem. Somehow, we are different. We are more beloved in Hashem's eyes. V'lo yadineinu al pimidas adin kfi amitas amishpat. And as a result of our beloved status to Hashem, somehow we have preferential treatment. Right? That's how most of us think about Schus Avos. We get preferred treatment as a result of Hashem's relationship with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Sheharei b'nei o'avav anachnu, because Hashem loved Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and we are his children. V'ro'i sheri rachameinu, and therefore we are deserving of Hashem's mercy. U'lahatos es dineinu l'tzad hatov mipnei avaso livnei o'avav. That because Hashem loved Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, therefore, he should treat us differently, right? I'll pick on someone else, Moshe Leib Stewart knew my father and loved my father, so he would treat me a little bit different. He would say, Rabbi Moskowitz, every time I see you, I think of your father, and because I loved your father and he was nice to me, I'm going to treat you a little bit differently. That's how most of us, says Rav Dessler, relate to our relationship with Hashem. V'anachnu choshvim, and therefore we think, Shezohi ha-Yerusha Gedola, this is the greatest form of an inheritance. That because we're the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we get preferential treatment. How does they understand that? Says Rav Dessler. Number one, Hayim mishpat nachon hu asher adayin yata et mishpat beno avav min adin hamitil rachameu v'ta'acher. Right. In other words, just because Moshe Leib knew my father, does that mean he's going to give me preferential treatment? Does that mean he's going to treat me nicer than right? I committed murder. All of a sudden, Moshe Leib's going to let me off because he knew my father? What a ridiculous statement. Says Rav Dessler, Ayei fo hatzedek v'ayoshar. You know what we call that when judges do things like that? Corrupt. Right? That, we have a word for judges. Disbarred. Right? We have a word for lawyers who do that type of thing. Says Rav Dessler, that can't be what Schus Avos means. That Hashem gives us preferential treatment. Number two, he says, Hayim reshoim la'atos mishpat. Right, we have an explicit pasuk in the Torah. You're not allowed to take bribes. Isn't Schus Avos a form of bribery? Hashem, really, what I did was wrong. But because you knew Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it's the equivalent to me handing you $100. It's the equivalent to me handing you the get-out-of-jail-free card in Monopoly game. Rav Dessler says that doesn't work. And number three, he says, V'im kol elo, on top of everything else, Hein Hashem yisbrachu mekora emes. We know that Hashem is defined by truth. Mitziyuso emes, his essence, is truth. V'efshar b'shut panim l'tzayir lanu davar she'enu emes ela itzal nifra. Right? When, if we just see untruthfulness, it's only our perception of it. Hashem is truth, right? Chos Moshe l'kadosh baruch hu emes. Therefore, says Rav Dessler, how do you understand this notion of Schus Avos? That somehow, even though I sinned, and I'm worthy of punishment X, but because Hashem liked my father's, so therefore I get punishment Y. That's not MS. That's untruthfulness. That's bending justice. So how exactly is that supposed to work? Now, parenthetically, according to many Meforshim, the Das Mikra, for example, this is the argument that Yonah has with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yonah, and Sefer Yonah, doesn't understand the notion of mercy. He doesn't understand how Hashem can forgive the people of Nineveh. He is an Ish Emes, Yonah is. He looks at things through the lens of justice. And he says, Hashem, I don't understand. If the people of Nineveh sinned, they should be punished. Where does Teshuva come into the equation. And that's when Hashem brings the kikayon, he brings that tree, and Yonah has mercy on the tree, and Hashem says, if you have mercy on a tree who you put no effort into and don't really care about, shouldn't I be giving mercy to my people? But this is exactly the argument, says the Das Mikra, between Yonah and Hashem. Yonah makes Rav Dessler's argument. How is it fair for Hashem, who's an Ish Emes, to all of a sudden be giving mercy to people? Certainly to us, just because he knows my great-grandparents, because he liked Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, people I never met, I never had a relationship with. So how exactly does this work? So if you go up here, we come to the Mesillas Yesharim. The Mesillas Yesharim writes, and he's not writing about Tzchus Avos, he's writing about Midas Hadin versus Midas Harachamim. How does that work in general? Right? And he makes our point. To those of you who might ask, seeing that whatever the case might be, everything must be subjected to judgment, what function does the attribute of mercy perform? Right? In other words, if I sin and I'm supposed to get punished for it, where does Midas Harachamim? Where does Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, where does this all come into the answer? So the answer is that the attribute of mercy is certainly the mainstay of the world, for the world could not exist at all without it. Nevertheless, the attribute of justice is not affected. Interesting, says the Mesillas Yesharim, that Midas Hadin and Midas Harachamim can coexist. For on the basis of justice alone, it would be dictated that the sinner be punished immediately upon sinning, without the least delay. That the punishment itself would be a wrathful one, as befits one who rebels against Hashem, and that there would be no correction whatsoever for the sin. So where does Midas HaRachamim come in, says Mesillas Yesharim? It is the attribute of mercy which causes the reverse of the three things we have mentioned. That is, it provides the sinner time and not be wiped out as soon as he sins. Right? You and I, the second we don't make a bracha properly, lightning should come out from the heavens and strike us and kill us. The fact that it doesn't happen is because Hashem, says in Mesillas Yesharim, is buying us time. He's giving us a chance. He's pushing off any punishment so that you and I can repent and we can do better. And that the gift of repentance be given to the sinners with absolute loving kindness, so that the rooting out of the will, which prompted the deed, be considered a rooting out of the deed itself. Right? In other words, if I sinned and I do such teshuva with such charata, Hashem counts that as if I never did the deed at all. Right? Zchuyos, shkagos, nasa, zchuyos. The things I do accidentally actually become meritorious. So the Mesillas Yesharim is grappling with our core issue. What does Midas HaRachamim mean? What does it mean that Hashem gives us mercy, but he doesn't help us with Rav Dessler's conundrum, which is how do you understand Tzchus Avos? How do you understand this notion of a just God acting in a seemingly unjust fashion by allowing us the opportunity to do better? And so I want to share with you a number of different approaches. First, you have Rav Chaim Volozhin in his Ruach Chaim. Says Rav Chaim Volozhin, what does it mean, Tzchus Avos? It doesn't mean that I have a get-out-of-jail-free card. It doesn't mean that Hashem should treat me one way and instead he treats me another way. Says Rav Chaim Volozhin, what Tzchus Avos means is that the fact that my forefathers, my matriarchs and patriarchs, behaved a certain way, that embeds within me a certain DNA which allows me to behave a certain way. So for example, certain things might naturally come difficult to me, but because my forefathers already conquered that mountain, it therefore becomes embedded in with them in the DNA capable of accomplishing that, and it makes it easier for me to do it. Right? He says here, Kikama midos she'atzadik tarech v'yagei lahasigam. There are several midos that a tzadik, a righteous person, struggles very hard to accomplish. Levanav acharav heima kiteva mutva. And to the generations that come afterwards, it's easy for them. Right, think about a Baal Tshuva. Baal Tshuva makes enormous sacrifices to get where he is. Can't read Hebrew properly, he's going to be an outcast to society, right? It's going to be very hard for him. But the second generation, who might go to yeshiva, learn how to read Hebrew, it's going to come a lot easier to them. Right? That's what the Nefesh HaChaim is saying. It becomes embedded in me the capacity to do things that was very hard for my forefather to do. Uviktas yagia, yagilazem. With very little effort, I'm able to accomplish something. Says the Nefesh HaChaim, what gives a secular Jew the capacity, the wherewithal, the conviction to dial Kiddush Hashem? Right? It's not emuna in Hashem. They don't know that they have emuna in Hashem. By the way, for those Chabadniks here, they'll know that the Baal HaTanya talks about this a lot as well in the Tanya. Right? But what gives a secular Jew the wherewithal, the capacity, the conviction to dial Kiddush Hashem? How do they know from that? Think about the stories of the Holocaust. How do they know from that? Says Reb Chaim, "V'hu mut v'banu me'avinu Avram shemasar nafsho l'or kastim al emunaso." That when Avram Avinu jumped into the fiery furnace at Or Kastim, he embedded within the Jewish people the capacity, the strength, the inner moral strength to be moser nefesh al kiddush Hashem for eternity. He said, and so to every nisayon that Avram Avinu passed, he put it in our water. He embedded it in our DNA, the capacity to overcome those nisayonas as well. He says, I'll give you another example, right? We have couples that are going to make aliyah this summer. They're going to leave the comforts of lavish America, freedom, affluence. They're going to go to Israel, where their children are going to be outsiders. They're not going to know the language. It's going to be very difficult for them. What gives them the inner strength to be able to do that, the conviction to be able to do that? Says Reb Chaim V'Lashon, it's very easy. That when Avram Avinu fulfilled, Lech lecha me'artzecha me'miladetecha al'aretz asher ereka, when Avram Avinu left the comforts of his land to go to Eretz Yisrael, the unknown, he embedded within Jews for eternity the capacity to leave our land and to travel to the land of Israel. Sorry, I have the English for you. I didn't even realize it. I would have shown it to you. But I'm happy to send the source sheets to anyone who wants afterwards. So that says, Reb Chaim V'Lashon is how Zchus Avos means. Zchus Avos isn't read as a get-out-of-jail-free card. Zchus Avos means that they embed within us a certain DNA, a set of capacities that otherwise would be very difficult for us, but become a lot easier for us because our patriarchs accomplished such incredible feats. And so what does it mean that I have the zchus of Avram Avinu? It says, I am able to do certain things because Avram Avinu made me capable of doing it. He embedded in my DNA. He put it into the water that I drink in utero, the capacity to do certain things. Now again, that's an interesting pshat of Reb Chaim V'Lashon, but it does not help us with the whole bribery, right? What does it mean, right? It's a totally different take on it. So let me share with you Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler says the following, Hebrew, English. I'm going to read the Hebrew, and those who want to learn the English, gesundheit. Says Rav Dessler the following, Ve'ata nasima nalev, right? Pay attention. Im yavu shnei ganavim lefnei ha-shofet l'shafta. You bring two thieves, two youthful thieves. Anyone will get this reference, the two youths, right? You bring two youthful thieves before a judge. V'yakor v'imsu ki ganvu shneim, and the judge looks into the case, and sure enough, both of them are a bunch of thieves. And he wants to put them both in jail. And just as he's about to put the gavel down, right, and put them in jail, hinehid bonein ha-shofet al-sibara pesha, ulai efshar letaknam, shiyich yuchai misharim v'lo yasu avel od, right, the judge says to himself, right, we're talking about prison reform in America. So the judge says to himself, Reuven and Shimon, I can throw them both in prison, but what's going to happen if I throw them both in prison? They're just going to get worse, right? No one gets better. Very few people get better in prison. They join a gang, they get in the wrong crowd, bad influences. So the judge says, I really don't want to throw them in jail. What I really want, right? I want to fix them. I want to make sure they don't make the mistake again. Again, obviously, for very bad crimes, you just have to punish the person. But let's talk about minor crimes. So you got two, you have Reuven and Shimon in front of Judge Judy. And Judge Judy, which obviously couldn't happen in Judaism, right? And Judge Judy says to herself, I really want to punish Reuven and Shimon. If I throw them in jail, though, they're not going to get better. They're just going to fall into the wrong crowd. She looks at one of them. She looks at Reuven and she sees that Reuven comes from an impeccable family, right? Nobody's ever gotten in trouble. Esteemed members of society, very charitable. Right? Why did Reuven deal drugs? Because he had a bad friend who made him do the wrong thing. But this whole family is a really good family, right? And then she sees Shimon's family. And Shimon comes from a very, very depraved family. They're all a bunch of isvarfs, and they're all drug dealers, and this one's a murderer, and this one's a thief, and this one's a rapist, right? So the judge says to herself, Judge Judy's going to sell herself. If I put Reuven in prison, what's going to happen to him? He's going to fall into the wrong crowd. If I send him back to his family, what's going to happen? His family will be able to fix him, right? The presence of his family will have a positive influence on him, and he'll have good things will happen as a result. As opposed to Shimon, whose family is a bunch of Nebuchs, if I send Shimon back to his family, they're just going to make him worse. So what does Judge Judy do? She puts Shimon in prison, and she lets Reuven get out of jail. Says Rav Dessler, that's how Zchus Avos works. Zchus Avos works as when you and I come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And Hashem looks at our ancestors. He looks at our DNA. He looks at the stock from which you and I come. He says, you know what? They come from really good stock. And even if Moskowitz might have made a mistake yesterday, sending him to prison, punishing him, is really not going to accomplish what I want. The best thing to do is to actually send him back to his roots. Send him back to his family and let their influence impact him and improve him. As opposed to if I don't have Zchus Avos, if I lack that lineage, that pedigree of people that I come from, then Hashem's going to say, why am I going to let Moskowitz off? Right? The only way to fix him, the only way to repair him, I have no alternative other than to send him to prison. That is how Rav Dessler says we understand Zchus Avos. So is it a bribe or it's not a bribe? It's not really a bribe. It's that what a judge does when they adjudicate a case is they look at the whole situation. They don't just look at the crime, but they look at the circumstances surrounding the crime. They look at the family. They look at how the person grew up. They look if there are any illness, right? They look at the whole circumstances and making a decision. Says Rav Dessler, that's simply how we are to understand this notion of Zchus Avos. It's not that Hashem is being bribed. Hashem is simply looking at the lineage from which you and I come, the stock from which we are carved, and he says, you know what? I think it would make them a better person if I sent them back to their family instead of sending them to prison. Rav Dessler writes elsewhere, a different way of looking at Zchus Avos, where he says the following. He says, right, he says an idea similar to Rav Chaim Velashin. Halohima kochos hanefesh ve'amidos hatovos asher bahem nuchal lisrakes ela emes ulamod keneged yitzhar. Again, it's the midos, it's the characteristics, it's that inner strength, the fortitude, which is embedded in me from my forefathers, which allows me to do tshuva. And that's why he says it's called Zchus Avos, right? What does that mean? Kochos zachim. Zachim is like the pure kochos. Hamamidin es ha'adam al emes ve'atzedek sheim nikrim zchus. It's the zchuyos. It's the merits as a result of what my forefathers taught me. That's that idea from Rav Dessler, very similar to the idea of Chaim Velashin. Last one I want to share with you is the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik. This written up is The Lord is Righteous in Our Ways, in His Ways, which is the Rav's work, printed by Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter on the Kinos of Tisha B'Av. And here the Rav gives what I think is not just the most compelling argument, but far and away the most relevant argument for every single one of us. Says the Rav, what is the difference between Zchus Avos and Bris Avos? Remember, that was already Tosos. Rabbeinu Tam came along and said that the machlokas between Shmuel and Rav Yochanan was whether we're talking about Zchus Avos or Bris Avos. That Zchus Avos can stop to exist, but Bris Avos can never cease to exist. Says the Rav, based on that Tosos. What is Zchus Avos Tama? Whereas Bris Avos Lo Tama. What does that mean? That Zchus Avos can stop, whereas Bris Avos can never stop. Let me give you an example. Let us say I had a beautiful friendship with Reuven. I liked him. I had a high opinion of him. There was some quality of his character that was exceptional. Similarly, he liked me, and we mutually helped each other out. I was devoted to him, and he was devoted to me. Then he died and left a son who looked just like him. Their physical resemblances were identical. He was the image of his father. In this case, the feeling of sympathy and friendship I had for my friend will be transferred to his son. I'm speaking here from experience. Somehow, when I see the son, I see my friend. All right, he is a younger but it isn't him. But isn't it him, my friend? He is a little different, yes, but he has the same face, the same laughing eyes. He is the same person. The son becomes the object of my love and admiration. Whatever I would have done for my friend if he were alive, I would do for my son. Now imagine that the son died and left a grandson. The resemblance is less now, and my feeling is not as intense as I had for the feeling of the son. It is removed by one generation. Yes, I transfer those emotions, my feelings of love and devotion to the grandson, but to a lesser degree than I had with regard to the son. My own experience is already dulled. Time in general dulls feelings. Right after the death of my friend, I was directly occupied with his son. But how long can I be so preoccupied? After 20, 25, 30 years, my intensity will have subsided, and I will even forget completely. Little by little, the emotion I felt and the experienced with regard to my original friend expires until it reaches the stage of neutrality. This is Schus Avos. So says the Rav, as long as we resemble our ancestors, we are the beneficiaries of Schus Avos. Right? As long as I look like my ancestors, and look here obviously not as a physical representation, but as long as my behavior models that of my forefathers, if Hashem looks at me and says, you know what, you remind me of someone. You remind me of Avram Avinu. You remind me of the characteristics of Yitzchak Avinu, of Yaakov Avinu, of Yosef, of David, and Shlomo, right? Then I am privy to Schus Avos. As long as my actions stop looking like those of my forefathers, that is when we subject ourselves to this notion of Tama Schus Avos. Now, the reason why I love this pshat of the Rav is because he takes Schus Avos, and instead of it being a passive experience, right? I do something wrong. Here's my get out of jail free card, Hashem. Right here, I have a card. Here's my get out of jail free card, Hashem. I'm a descendant of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Rav's pshat turns it right back on its head, and the Rav says, no. Schus Avos only works if when Hashem looks at you, he sees Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Right? If we look and model our behavior after those tzaddikim and tzidkanios who came before us, then we are privy to the benefits of Schus Avos. As once we don't look like that anymore, if Hashem looks at us and says, are you the child of Avram? Let me look at you a little, right? Is that you? Then we don't benefit from the notion of Schus Avos at all. And so what I love about the pshat of the Rav is instead of being a passive understanding of it, instead of it being something that absolves us of responsibility, it actually places the responsibility squarely at our feet. It says, if you want to benefit from Schus Avos, it's not that we're bribing Hashem. It's simply a fact of life. If we look like our ancestors, if we model ourselves after our ancestors, then when Hashem sees us, he sees our ancestors. And therefore, he's more likely to behave a certain way towards us. On the other hand, if Hashem looks at us, the way we dress, and the way we act, and the way we speak, and the way we conduct ourselves, and the lifestyles that we live, and he says, you might say you're a Jew, but you don't really look like any Jews that I know that came before you, then we don't benefit the schus, we don't benefit the merit of Schus Avos. So we started off with this conundrum, this really strange gemara of a machlokas between Shmuel and Rav Yochanan about what does it mean, this letter Tav? Is it Tamas Schus Avos? Is it Tachon Schus Avos? Did Schus Avos end? Is it just beginning? We didn't really understand what that meant, Schus Avos, and we tried to offer a number of different interpretations as to how you understand it. Either the notion of Tosfos who comes along and says that either Rabbeinu Tam, that whereas Schus Avos might have stopped, Bris Avos can never stop, or the opinion of the Ri, who describes that they're not really disagreeing, one's talking about Tzaddikim, one's talking about Rishayim. We saw the pshat of Rav Chaim Mivilajin, who says Schus Avos is by no means a get-out-of-jail-free card. The only thing that it is it embeds in our DNA a certain set of behaviors that you and I are the beneficiaries of. Right? We are able to accomplish great things solely because Avraham and Yaakov embedded in me the capacity to do those great things. And lastly, we learned this idea of Michtam Eliyahu, the notion of coming before the judge, right? Where if the judge sees that we have a strong family background to fall back on, he's less likely to put us in jail, and that is what Schus Avos means. And then finally, the idea of Rabbi Soloveitchik, where if we look like our Avos, then we benefit from that. If we don't look like our avos, then we don't benefit from that. And the beauty of the Rav Soloveitchik pshat is that instead of absolving us of responsibility, it actually puts it right on into us. And it says, if you want the merit of your forefathers to stand up for you, you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, do I look like someone who my forefathers would be proud of? Right? When you and I come on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and we say, Zichronos, Hashem, remember those who came before us and their good deeds. Hashem's going to look at us and say, well, you're nothing like them. Or, you look a lot like them. And the difference between those two, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, is the difference between whether you benefit from Zichus Avos or whether you do not benefit from Zichus Avos. So again, something that's relevant, the daf that we read recently, and again, I think an overlong, interesting sugya. In addition, I want to wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful week.